In the room or on Facebook. We're doing this for a second time, so maybe you tune in the first time, but we're having technical difficulties, so hopefully it'll take this time. We started last week with our series, Out of the Blue, and the premise behind the series is that there are times in life when we believe we're in control. Sometimes you feel like you've heard a message twice, don't you? Something like that, Sam. Anyway. Yeah, right? And like you've had everything planned and think you know what's going to happen. Like, you know the next words that might come out of my mouth. But then out of nowhere, this sudden change occurs, and everything shifts in a different direction. What we thought was going to happen sends us in an entirely different direction, or what seems like an entirely different direction. And we saw this in the passage last week. Paul was on his mission to the Gentiles, and as he went out on this mission, he was kind of going all around Asia because the Holy Spirit and Jesus were saying, hey, you can't go there. I don't want you to go there. So Paul and his companions, Luke and Silas and Timothy, they journeyed all the way around Asia waiting for God to speak. And as they arrived in Troas, the vision came to Paul about this man in Macedonia needing help. And Paul was like, well, we got to go. So they set off towards Macedonia, which is in the Roman Empire, which is Europe. And they get there in record time, which to Paul was confirmation that they were on the right path. So that's where we left off last week. They had arrived in Philippi, in the Roman district in Europe, and we left off in verse 12 last week. We did verse 12, so we're going to do verse 13 this week. You know, one of the hardest things, though, to do is to believe that something out of the blue is what you're supposed to be doing. You know, like when that thing comes out of left field and you're like, here it is, and then all of a sudden you've got to be doing this different thing, you're kind of like, is that really what I'm supposed to be doing? But then when the out-of-the-blue thing unfolds much differently than you even expected it to. You know, the out-of-the-blue thing, you kind of go, okay, all right, we're going a different direction. And then all of a sudden, the out-of-the-blue thing becomes something entirely different. And today, our message is going to be the unfolding vision. The crazy thing about vision is, when it's initiated, it seems concrete. I mean, when you hear about a vision, you think you're going this way, this direction, and it's a concrete thing. There's usually a clear path to the task at hand. A vision is designed to get us from one point to another, from here to there. But often, the path we think we're going to take or be on is not exactly how we thought it would be. The journey often includes challenges and changes. Sometimes the vision gets altered, and what we thought we were doing often changes the vision we thought we had. But what if the vision we had was just to get us moving, not necessarily meant to unfold exactly as we first thought? I mean, if we think about it, how many times do entrepreneurs fail before their vision becomes a reality? And is what they've envisioned in the beginning what the result is in the end? My guess is that when the initial vision for a computer did not expand as far as being able to use it on a phone or a watch. When the initial vision for a computer was to have them in every home, I'm sure that vision did not include that everyone would be able to access a computer pretty much on their phone or on their arm. I mean, I know the Jetsons were out there, but, you know, that was still even far-fetched. You just had a hard time believing that. And Henry Ford probably never had in mind that cars would drive themselves. I know we're not completely there yet, but almost. We're getting closer with each day. So the premise for today is this. The initial vision moves us toward the ultimate plan. Because often, to see the ultimate plan unfold, we have to take steps based on the initial vision. Would everybody agree with that? I mean, if there was no steps ever taken towards the initial vision, how do you get to the unfolded vision, the ultimate plan? How do you get there? So we're going to see in our passage today, as Paul is being led by his vision of a man needing help in Macedonia, stepping out in faith, and what happens when he does that. So check it out. In Acts, we're going to be in Acts chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles with you, you want to open to Acts chapter 16. And we're only doing four verses today, so it should be a shorter message for you. Verses 13 through 16. I know, right? I know, crazy. But there's a lot in these four verses, so check it out. Here's what it says. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the woman who had assembled. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful in the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she persuaded us. So let's pray. God, real simple this morning. We need a vision that helps us to see the plan unfold. We want to be faithful to take the steps we need to take. So as you speak to us today through this message, I pray that you would allow us to be encouraged by what Paul did, by what happened with Lydia, and that you would inspire us to know that you're in the little details, even if they don't make sense to us at the time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you know anything about Paul, when he arrived in cities, he had this routine. He would go into the city, and the first place he would go, especially on the Sabbath, is to the synagogue. He would go and try and teach the Jewish people about Jesus, because they knew the Messiah was coming. They just didn't understand the Messiah had come. So Paul always went to the synagogues first. Let's see if that same thing is true as he arrives in Macedonia. Verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And you're going, whoa, 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 whoa. It seems like Paul's agenda had changed here, huh? Like, instead of going to the synagogue, he's heading outside the city to a riverside. And you're like, what is going on? Why wouldn't he go to the synagogue? What's that mean? Well, what is not obvious to us is what's known to them. So sometimes we need the history to understand the story, okay? So a synagogue was not set in place unless there was at least 10 men in the city who were in agreement and following Christ. Or following God, I'm sorry. Following God. And so if there was not 10 men who were worshiping God, there was no synagogue. So what they would do is they would travel to the nearest body of water. And you're like, well, why would they do that? Well, because in the synagogue, they would have these water troughs or water bins, and they would use the water as purification rites. So when they didn't have a synagogue, they would do it in the river, and they would use the water as part of the purification rites. So if there was no building, this is what they would do. They would go down to the river, and they would meet. And they would have service there, usually over in a structure that was built near the river. But interestingly enough, what do we see in our passage? Look who they encounter. There are no men there, as far as Luke records. And I think if there had been men there, he would have recorded it. But there's just this group of women. That's very unique. Think about this, and think about the surprise it would have been to only have women there, especially for Paul and his guys. First, if we recall, what is the entire vision for the mission to Macedonia? He was going there because a man needed help. So he gets to this place, and there's just women there. They're there meeting for prayer. How often do we think we get a plan and go to act on it only to find what we thought was clear has entirely different parameters? Think about the people in your life. Think about people who've wanted children and given birth to a special needs child. That was not the plan when they envisioned having a family, was it? Most people, when they envision having a family, envision this perfectly healthy, normal baby. They don't plan for a special needs child. That's not part of the plan. That's not part of the vision. Or what about when a couple gets married and one of the spouses dies or is paralyzed in some freak accident? Their vision for what that marriage was going to be has immediately changed. Often what we deem the plan to follow unfolds much differently when we place it into God's economy. Think about that. I mean, we all have certain visions of certain things. We all have certain plans that we try to engage in. Maybe you have a vision for what your retirement's going to look like. Maybe you have a vision for what your career is going to look like. But that all changes in an instant when we put it in God's economy, because really, it is really not about us, is it? In God's economy, everything that we engage in has very little to do with us and everything to do with Him. When we put it in God's economy, what we want is for our benefit. What He wants is for His glory. So if we look at things like that, they look totally different, don't they? If we knew the outcome of the journey, or where it would take us, how many of us would really be willing to take the first step? I mean, think about that. If you think of immense change, overwhelming circumstances, how many of you would still go, I'm all in. I'm all in. I want to do this. But the vision is that you've got this grand plan, this other idea, and it encourages you to take that first step. So for those of you that are you know, still not in school, not in careers yet, you've got this vision for what your life might be. And so you're taking these steps. Look, when I started college, I thought, man, I'm going to get my AA degree, and I'm going to go apply for all these jobs. Then I applied for like 20 jobs, and everybody just kind of laughed at me. I was like, what? I got my degree. That was a big deal back, you know, in the 90s. Got my AA degree. All right, well, okay, that didn't work. Let me go back and get my bachelor's and see what happened. So I went back, got my bachelor's, and applied for a few more jobs, and nobody still wanted me. And I'm like, this is just crazy. So I just go about my career, end up in this landscaping business, and God uses that business to move me towards Himself, because every mission trip I've ever been on, except one, has had to do with some kind of landscaping, okay? Everyone, except when we were in Ukraine, because there was snow on the ground, we couldn't landscape then.
Snowplowing.
Well, we could have done that, but we were teaching. So, but and then you know, I end up in seminary, right? So I end up in seminary, and my vision is, I get done seminary, I get ordained as a pastor, and I'm going to apply at a church, and I'm going to get a job. Yeah, that's what's going to happen, and my career path is going to go in this direction. And after, no lie, I can show you the list of over 200 applications to churches and only 2 interviews, because they all said, well, you don't have experience. We can't hire you. That changed the path of my life. If I'd have known that, do you think I would have taken that first step towards seminary? Do you think I would have even gone in that direction that God wanted me to go? Probably not. It would have been much harder. So sometimes God doesn't reveal to us what He's doing, because we wouldn't be willing to take the step to get there. This church wouldn't exist if all those 200 no's hadn't come in, if I had never gone to seminary. It wouldn't exist. And you're thinking, well, maybe that might not be a bad thing, but maybe we don't know what God's yet to do with it. The greater plan is much bigger than what we have in mind. But if we're not willing to take those first steps, we may miss something great that God has in store in His ultimate plan. Not ours, but in His ultimate plan. Because look what happens next in Acts 14. This woman, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. She was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. So we don't know how many women are in this group, but there is one woman in this group of Jewish women who are listening to Paul speak down by the river, and the Lord opens her heart. Now, Paul had no idea that any of the women were going to respond to his message. But there's this one woman who does. Now, there's some backstory to this. Remember how Paul was kept from going into Asia? You know, he was pushed all around Asia until he gets the message to go to Macedonia from Troas. Well, now in Macedonia, he encounters a woman from Thyatira. Anybody want to guess where Thyatira is? Yes, Asia. Thyatira is in Asia. Interesting how Paul traveled all the way to Macedonia to witness the people there, and only one person responds to the message, and where are they from? Asia. Lydia's from Asia. Think about this. Had Paul gone to Asia, he might have missed the opportunity to witness to Lydia. And you think, well, yeah, but look at all the other people he could have witnessed to. You know, it would have been good, but God had a plan. And Lydia is an important piece in this plan. This isn't by coincidence that he's in Macedonia, Philippi, Europe, Roman territory, witnessing to Lydia. Because God had a plan all along. See, often we think we know where we should be going or what we should be doing. But God has a unique way of getting his work done. And because he was faithful, I want you to look at verse 15 at what happened next. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she persuades us. Apparently, the message Paul had was enough to have Lydia believe in Jesus. She's now a follower of Jesus. She's a Christian. And when she heard it, what was she quick to do? Share it with her family. Because she and her family were all baptized. Now, I want you to think about this. You think, well, that's awesome, Ron, that's great. But I don't understand. Like, you know, this isn't really what Paul was supposed to do, right? Paul's vision was to go to Macedonia and help a man there. And here he is witnessing to Lydia, which is awesome. Lydia's family gets baptized, which probably meant her husband and maybe her children. We don't know how big her family was. Maybe extended family got baptized. It doesn't tell us exactly how many people got baptized. But I want to back up even further than the vision to Paul. And I want to go back to a vision that Jesus placed in the hands of the disciples as he was about to leave the earth after his resurrection. In Matthew 28:19, he says these words, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." See, Lydia and her family were part of the fulfillment of Jesus' vision from God. There's so much about Lydia that we might be quick to gloss over. The fact that she sold purple fabrics gives some insight into her life. Purple was a sign of royalty, and only the rich could afford these garments. She obviously had a vision, because she had moved from Thyatira to sell to the people in Europe. Thyatira, that's where the dye for these purple the garments where it was found. And so she took this dye and she took it all the way to Macedonia, to Philippi, to sell to the Roman people. You think, wow, man, that's pretty encouraging. She would travel so far to do that. But I'm going to submit that in order for her to do that, there had to be some sacrifice on her part. See, in Thyatira, she would have been worshiping in a full-blown synagogue. There would have been a lot of other believers in God around her. There would have been a lot of other Jewish people around her. But she goes to Macedonia, and there's like a handful. We know there's less than 10 men, if any men, because they weren't there that day. And there's this handful of women that are gathering to meet by a river. She was used to worshiping God in a synagogue, surrounded by men. Men would have led the synagogue. And here she's out on her own trying to figure this out in a foreign city with foreign people in a strange land trying to make a living. Not only that, but synagogues were located within the city limits, right? It says that they went outside of the city gate to go worship. 2.7 kilometers, which is about 1.5 miles. The average person takes about 12 to 15 minutes to walk a mile. So you're talking 20, 25 minutes, depending on, you know, conditions, to get to this place of worship. Whereas within the city limits, it would have been with just a few minutes. And that's each way, right? So she's got to sacrifice to even get to the place. But because of her willingness to do this, God had created a place for the church to meet. See, because Lydia was doing so well, she had a large house and was able to have the missionary team stay with her. We see that in this verse, that she invited them to stay with her. In fact, she insisted. She would not take no for an answer, that they must stay with her. And what we'll see in coming weeks is her house became the meeting place for the very first house church in Philippi. That's pretty cool. See, there's no doubt that when we're willing to follow God, in the end, the vision may change, but His plan will always remain the same. See, the vision, the plan, God's plan was for the church to spread to the ends of the earth. And here they are outside of the normal area, out into Europe, out into the Roman Empire, and the church is spreading. And we know a lot that there must have been a pretty good church there, because and it grew quickly, and it was a great church because Paul wrote to the Philippian church. He was encouraged by the Philippian church. How often do we look at our lives and wonder, what's going on right now? Why are things happening the way they're happening? Is God still working in my life in the mundane? Think about it. While Paul was on this wild journey, but being kept from the place he felt like he was called to go, Lydia was in Philippi just doing life. I want you to think about that. Paul's out here, he's traveling all around, he's going all these places, although kind of being veered around Asia, and Lydia's just doing life week after week, day after day, moment after moment, month after month. And it just seems like a routine. Selling clothing and worshiping by the river week after week. She had no idea what was going on with Paul. But God was at work. His vision was unfolding through a plan she had no vision of. We are so used to thinking we're in control, we deceive ourselves with the idea that we know the vision. We get caught up in the mundane and the routine that we don't even think that God's got something going on behind the scenes, that somebody else is doing something out here that has something to do with us over here. But let me ask you this question. What if the vision that we had at the beginning is only part of a greater vision? What if this vision that God had for us out here is only part of a greater vision? Think about it this way. when a house is built, there's usually a general contractor, right? There's somebody that's orchestrating all the details of building the house. There's this person who's over everything. He's in control of everything. He has the final vision. He knows what the blueprint says. He knows what it's going to look like when it's all said and done. But in order to get to that point of being all said and done, to the owners walking through the door and being home, something has to occur. And it has to occur in a certain order. Think about it. If everybody showed up at the same time, a lot of nothing would get accomplished. Did you ever think about that? If all the contractors were just waiting for each other to do their job, what would even get done? There'd be a lot of wasted time. The framer can't build the structure until the excavator has prepared the site. Right? And the mason has put up the foundation. If the framer tries to start putting his framing up on the dirt, what's going to happen? And look, the electrician and the plumber, they can't perform their task until the framer's done his task. Imagine this guy. Imagine this. So the framer gets all done, and the drywall guy comes in, and he puts up all the drywall before the electric and the plumbing. That would be a helpful house. No place to plug anything in. No water, running water in the house. That would be crazy. We get the idea. Now translate that to God's plan. He knows exactly when we are called into the grand plan. See, you and I have special parts in the plan. We don't always know what those parts are. We don't always know exactly when we're called to do it. But what we got to do is we have to trust that God is calling us at the right time because He's got a bigger plan. He knows the bigger blueprint. So what are we supposed to do? Well, look at Lydia. She was doing her part by what? She was worshiping while she was waiting, wasn't she? Faithfully, week after week, worshiping God until He brought her into His plan. So what do we need to do? Simply worship while we're waiting. When we're waiting for God's plan to unfold, we just need to worship. In the daily, in the mundane, in the routine, in the difficult, in the good times, and even in the uncertain times, we need to remain faithful to Him. Because sooner or later, the great general contractor is going to call on us. Mm-hmm. It will be our turn. Our turn to put our part in the plan. The master plan. Now that we have to know that in the background, as part of the master plan, there are things always going on. And what I think we need to get from today is this idea that things aren't just stopped. Things aren't just at a standstill. There are things that are happening all the time. Just like we're on call, basically. Okay? And it's just a matter of time before God says, okay, I'm ready for you. And I need you here. And don't just think that you get a once and done kind of thing, because God's got more than one thing for you to do. But there might be different seasons where you get called to different things, different gifts to use. But you got to wait for your turn. And know that in the background, there's other people doing things in part as part of God's plan to have things unfold the way that He's designed. So as we prepare for the unfolding vision, we need to be engaged. Number one thing we need to be doing is worshiping God, right? If we're worshiping God, then we're ready. Our heart's in the right place. We're prepared for what He wants to do in and through us. Not only that, but when you're worshiping, you're ready to serve. So that gets us ready to be active in service. You know, there are places where we can plug in, whether you're doing the great thing as part of the vision or the little thing. You just don't wait and do nothing. I wonder what Lydia was doing while she was waiting, besides worshiping. I don't envision her as a sit-around kind of woman. I think she was serving in some capacity. In fact, I would venture to guess that even before she became a follower of Christ, she was involved in the church in some capacity. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be involved in His church. So if you're sitting in church or you're sitting in your house today and you're not involved in some way, you need to think about, what can I do? Where can I be involved? What is my part in God's church? Because if everybody would take up their part, then the few people wouldn't have to work really hard to do everything. If everybody's depending on someone else to do it, don't just wait around and go, well, God hasn't called me to do it. Why don't you ask questions? Where can I serve? Even for those of you tuning on Facebook, where are you plugged into a church? Where are you serving? Because I'm glad that you're tuning in, but if you're just taking it in and not giving back, you're missing something. You're not really trusting in His plan. And He calls us to do that. He calls us to trust in His plan. Because the wait is where we will find the refreshment. The wait is where we will get lifted up. And in Isaiah, the last verse in chapter 40, he records these words for us. Yet those who wait for the Lord, those who wait for Him, will gain new strength. I want you to think about that just for a second. Those who wait for Him will gain new strength. Not strength, but new strength. Are you weary? Are you tired? Are you just worn out and you just like, I can't do any more than I've done. I'm done. Well, then wait on the Lord, because it says if you wait on the Lord, you will gain new strength. And they will mount up with wings like eagles. It doesn't say you're going to mount up on an eagle. You're going to mount up with wings like eagles. In other words, you are going to be lifted because you are relying on the strength of the Lord. He's going to give you new strength. And He's going to lift you up. Do you know what an eagle does? He soars. He soars high in the sky. And while he's soaring, his wings really aren't flapping. Do you know why? Because the wind is carrying him. If we mount up on wings like eagles, you know who's carrying us? The Spirit of God. Man, I lost my passage here. It says if we're able to do that, that we'll mount up with wings like eagles. We're going to run and not get tired. We will walk and not become weary. In other words, what he's saying is you'll be able to do what you've been called to do. So wait on the Lord. Let His plan unfold. Let His vision unfold before you. And the out of the blue thing will no longer seem so out of the blue or ordinary. In fact, it will seem extraordinary. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for how You speak to us, how your word just, it's a complete story of Your loving hand in our lives. I thank You for what Paul was willing to do. And what Lydia was doing while she was waiting for Paul to do what he needed to do. Inspire us, Lord, because there are times, and I speak for myself, where we get tired, where we get weary, and we want things to happen. We get impatient. So would You help us to be patient in the waiting, to look for Your unfolding vision in our everyday things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.